from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Fields on the move. Want to see more of this and want to see a lot of that. That's Cole Kmet spinning his way to a first down. Keep an eye on him in the trenches as he pass blocks. Fields protected, throwing, touchdown! It's the first for Fields of the preseason. Nice move to the outside. Dante Pettis had Greedy Williams on skates, and Fields finds him for a 12-yard touchdown. It is Fields surveying, pointing, tossing, end zone! Cole Kmet, touchdown! What a 30-snap series for Justin Fields and the Bears offense. Three touchdown passes from Fields on an excellent close to the preseason.
Stop, Bears.
You're going to love it. The final preseason game is the best-case scenario. The starters played. They emerged healthy. They scored points. Yeah.
There's nothing bad that occurred in Cleveland on Saturday night. It was all good.
The interpretation is what it means. That's where you could debate. What does it mean? But again, if you're just looking in the context of what are you looking to get out of your third preseason game, how could you have a better one than that, especially after the second preseason game where you lost basically a full week of practice and your starters on offense only played one series?
Your offense functioned at a very efficient level. Your most important player played exceptionally well. I don't see any downside to what occurred on Saturday in Cleveland.
All right, to just let you know if you're getting out of work, Jimmy Garoppolo, and this is even more important because the Bears are opening up against the Niners. A lot of people, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, when are we going to get the news that Garoppolo has been traded or released?
Would you like the news?
And the news that came down was
Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers agreed to a restructured one-year contract that will keep the QB in San Francisco this season. Per sources, this is from Adam Schefter, the contract contains no trade and no tag clauses, assuring Garoppolo will remain in San Francisco this season and have the freedom to leave in 2023. I believe that this is a contract that is worth $6.5 million base, the ability to make another $500,000 in per-game roster bonuses, plus another $9 million in playtime incentives. The only way I can read this is that the 49ers are not 100% sold on Trey Lance.
That instead of just getting rid of the salary and releasing him, they still have him on, and they could now, if Trey Lance isn't good, put him in at any time.
Well, why not just, why not have a, if this is truly Trey Lance's team by hook or by crook, then you just ride with a nondescript backup.
I disagree.
If something happens.
I disagree. I think it's a violent position, and if you're truly a contender in the NFL, you want to have a quality backup.
But that's my point is that as well. But my point is I don't think that they believe that he is their answer. That is a distraction. This is a guy that took you to a Super Bowl. Like, what is it? Are you telling me that you couldn't find another backup?
No, but I don't think you can find. Exactly. I don't think you can find a backup. Who Jimmy Garoppolo, as you said, they
took
know
him to a Super Bowl,
and they think they. I think
what
they
does
think
this say to Trey Lance?
But they think Trey Lance elevates the team; otherwise, they wouldn't give him the starting gig. I think they think his potential elevates them to being a guy who they can go in and win games and not just be complimentary. Whereas Jimmy G, they've seen they can only go so far with him unless the team around him is playing at an elite level.
Yeah, this is a win-win. Don't get me wrong. It's a win for the 49ers. It's a win for Jimmy Garoppolo in a lot of ways.
He still is in the system with a chance to play and thrive into a free agency year next year.
I still don't believe when you're worrying about your starting quarterback getting hurt versus his development as a young quarterback, I don't think you bring Jimmy back if you feel 100% confident that Trey Lance is your guy.
Who's the backup then?
Who was the kid? Was it?
No, they just traded Nick Mullins.
They just traded Nick Mullins. Who's the kid? Brock Purdy? Is it Brock Purdy from...
See, but...
From...
From Iowa State?
Iowa State was the rookie.
Nate Sudfeld's on the roster.
Okay, Nate Sudfeld
is the fourth string.
I don't think it's a distraction. You get him, and you always know whether it's performance. You got to perform. Maybe Trey Lance doesn't perform right away. Maybe he gets hurt. It's great insurance at a discount price compared to what you were going to pay him.
It tells me that they don't believe that Trey Lance, that they have questions.
Well,
because
sure,
otherwise if this is his job, you don't want that distraction of Jimmy, a guy who has taken this team to the Super Bowl in the past.
Don't we still have
Think about the team. There may be guys inside that huddle, whether it's George Kittle, or it's a couple of the running backs, or it's Deebo Samuel, that are more comfortable with Jimmy.
Sure, of course.
Than they are with Trey Lance.
Of the five quarterbacks who were drafted, who are you sold on last year, from last year's first round?
Sold on is...
Because you said they're not sold on Trey Lance yet.
Yeah,
So which one of the five is anyone sold on?
I think the Jags would probably tell you they're sold on Trevor Lawrence.
He didn't exactly have a great rookie year. The Bears aren't sold on Fields. The Jets aren't sold. I just think that they're the only team of the Jags, of the Jets, of the Bears who are in a win-now scenario. So they still, if he doesn't, if these young guys fail on bad teams, they'll eventually have to move on in the draft. But the 49ers still want to win now. Where Trey Lance fails, now they have a great insurance
policy. What if Trey Lance in a couple of games, like a lot of second-year quarterbacks, not even really a second-year quarterback, how much did Trey Lance play last year?
He was hurt a lot of the year.
So Trey Lance is really basically a rookie quarterback. What if Trey Lance comes out and he played in six games? What if Trey Lance comes out and doesn't play well?
Then you go
in the
to
the first
Jimmy
couple
G.
of games.
Then
truly sold on Trey Lance?
No, you're not. Like, of course. My point is, how could you 100% be sold on Trey Lance? And you're still in a win now mode, aren't you?
Of course you are, because that's the way you're built.
So now you have the best insurance policy out there, a backup quarterback who's taking you to a Super Bowl.
I get it, but you understand also the dynamic that exists in that building.
I think the risk-reward is way more of a reward of a championship-level quarterback for your team than the distraction or Trey Lance looking over his shoulder.
Listen, as I said to you, I think it's win-win. I think it's a win for the 49ers. I'm not denying that. I think it's a win for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm telling you, it also, to me, tells you that you're not 100% sure that Trey Lance is your guy.
He scored zero points in his last time out.
And I think also it's something that isn't going to really build his confidence or his whatever with his team. I just think if there's a coach in the league that can navigate it, maybe it's Kyle Shanahan. Maybe it is. Again, I think it's a great move for the 49ers because I have my own questions about Trey Lance. I'm just telling you, if you were a Bears fan thinking that Trey Lance is your guy, wouldn't this lead you to believe that, maybe smart move by the organization, but maybe they don't believe in this kid. And yet, how much did they give up for him? Like, didn't they trade two or three first-round picks?
Right, and it was, remember, it came out, it was between him and Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And they ultimately decided on Trey Lance, remember, hasn't played a lot of football. Last year. He didn't have his year in college. It's been basically 3 years since he played a full, and at that level, he was, remember, an FCS player.
Again, I think this is a great move by the 49ers. I'm a little surprised. Aren't you surprise is a strong word. Jimmy G does this. Why? Because he thinks he can play. Maybe he believes he's going to be playing sooner rather than later.
Right. There's that.
And
there's the success factor he's had under Shanahan.
Yes.
There's also probably the marketplace where no one wants to give Jimmy G much money. You just told me that
$6.5 million. It can be an extra nine.
Guaranteed and an extra nine.
Yeah. No, I know.
So I don't think you're getting that with Cleveland or with Seattle.
I don't think there's a starting job out there for Jimmy G.
I don't either.
So he looked at the landscape
and now he knows at the end of the year he's off.
I think he also believes he'll be playing at some point.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked If Jimmy is Jimmy G healthy, first of all, now?
I mean, he's supposed to be, I guess. I mean, he's been cleared for practice.
Okay, would you be shocked if Jimmy G comes out to start the second half of the 49ers?
No, if Trey Lance struggles.
If the Bears are holding Trey Lance down.
Yes, but this is my point. Like, if you bail on Trey Lance after one half of football, do you believe in him? You're not even going to give him an opportunity to get himself back on track?
Think about what you've invested in him.
Can't
you still believe in his long-term future, but still think we've got a quarterback who went into Green Bay, we won a playoff game with him. The year before that, we went to the Super Bowl with him.
Yeah.
He's not perfect either because he doesn't do the big plays like we would like.
How much rope is Trey Lance given?
How does that
affect the way that he plays? And when does the huddle, where those guys are expecting to win, how long do they tolerate the mistakes of an inexperienced young quarterback? All I'm saying to you is it's a really interesting situation. One that I think is good for the 49ers, because if Trey Lance bobbles the way that many people believe, you can insert Jimmy G. But if Kyle Shanahan is 100% sold on Trey Lance, don't you think Kyle Shanahan thinks he can manage him through the rough moments and still find success?
Waddle, I really do, because even if you're 100% sold, if you're the Buffalo Bills and you've got Josh Allen, I'd still rather have Jimmy Garoppolo as my backup quarterback because it's a violent sport.
So why didn't his reps talk to Buffalo?
Because Jimmy Buffalo G? Probably doesn't want to pay that price for it.
But not just that, but he realizes too that like injuries are a part of the game. You can't prepare for injuries as the reason why you're going to sign with a team.
I think you sign
with the 49ers because you believe that Trey Lance may not be up for the challenge right now because you've seen him.
Sylvie just said it, though. Jimmy G may believe that, yes, you know, if given a chance, I can go out there and Trey Lance may struggle. It's his second year. And all the things that we laid out, he didn't play a ton in the NFL last year, and he looked green at times, so I can understand that. But at the same point, you're looking around and what are your options or your alternatives?
Again, but injury from a player's perspective, you're not signing with the team based on the potential for the guy in front of you to get hurt. That can happen at any time. You're doing it. If you're Jimmy G, you're doing it because you think, for a number of reasons, but you think there's a really good chance Trey Lance is going to bobble and Kyle Shanahan's going to me.
But is there a really good chance, or is it just you're comfortable? He knows the system, because anywhere else he picks up and leaves, chances are he's going to have to learn the system, and he's behind the incumbent there as well.
But what's the difference?
I think it's 50-50. They know he's a rookie quarterback with not a lot of experience who hasn't had the best preseason. They also believe in him. And they have now insurance, whether he plays poorly or he gets hurt, in Jimmy G.
You don't really believe in him, because if you believe in someone, you let that person work through some of their mistakes. At what level do they change
from Trey Lance
to Jimmy G?
How often is the young quarterback taking over a really good team? Like with Mahomes,
it doesn't happen very frequently.
It happened with Mahomes,
right? Because most young top-of-the-draft quarterbacks are joining crappy teams.
And I think that's why.
I get it. But, like, listen, all I'm saying is this also tells me that they're not 100% sold on the kid. Like, I can't read it any other way than that. It's a great insurance policy for them. But if this is truly Trey Lance's team, you don't want no distractions. No, come like on. He's a guy that took the team to the Super Bowl, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think that puts extra pressure?
I doubt that there's some doubt in Shanahan's mind. But look, this is the guy you trust, too.
Of course.
Steve in Elmwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Stevie?
Hey, guys, and love your show. Hey, Waddle, I can't agree with you more. Like, honestly, like, this is, to me, a sign that, like, maybe even the team talked behind the scenes for the coach. Like, Kyle's a smart guy, Shanahan. And I think really, like, something was said, and it made this announcement, because we talked 3 months ago. I called in, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was like, we were talking about Jimmy G and like how he's probably going to get rid of, where should he go? And I brought up like Tennessee. I really thought I was blown away by the Niners putting all their eggs in one basket on this Lance guy, just because they had Jimmy G's, like, I see him as like a Case Keenum in a good year, for instance. He can lead a team. But I think a lot of teams are going to kick themselves in the butt. And the call that I had 3 months ago was about the awareness, like with Justin Fields and Trey Lance, like kind of keeping up. And I had mentioned that, you know, I worry for their awareness. Fields is pleasantly surprising me. Lance, opposite.
I've only seen a little bit of Trey Lance. I said to you guys last year, watching him in preseason, his touch was, he was throwing fastballs when you're supposed to be throwing changeups and changeups when you're supposed to be throwing fastballs. He was throwing medicine balls to his guys on slant routes, simple slant routes. I don't think there's a better developer. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of good ones, but I don't think there's anyone that's any better at developing young quarterbacks than Kyle Shanahan.
Calling plays, development,
yeah, I'm not disputing what you guys are saying 100%. I'm just telling you, this also reeks of me, of not just, hey, this is a really sound business decision for us, because it is. But there's considerable doubt in their minds to do this. This stunts the growth of a young quarterback.
See,
it just does.
That is the part that I just don't agree with. I think the reward is way bigger than the worry about stunting his growth.
If you're worried about making mistakes every time you take the field, don't you think it affects the way you play if you're concerned that somebody who previously took this team to the Super Bowl is standing on the sidelines making a pretty good bit of change to be a backup quarterback?
To win, play well.
And here's the thing, Waddle. You're right. If they get into the regular season and if what Sylvie said happens, like at halftime, if Trey Lance is awful in the first half and then they pull him in the second half, you're right. That will absolutely play with his confidence and potentially, you know, alter his career. But if Kyle Shanahan gives him some leeway, a little bit of rope, and in the games where he's playing poorly, he still gets to go out there, and he doesn't, you know, jerk him around and go back and forth with Jimmy G, I think he can establish trust and have his backup ready to go in case he gets hurt.
Listen, they start off with a fairly soft schedule, and I hate to say that because our Bears are first up. They're at Chicago, they get Seattle, then they're at Denver, they get the Rams, they're at Carolina, they get Atlanta. Then they get Kansas City, they get the Rams again. That's all before the bye week.
There were a couple tough games right at the beginning.
That's my point. Yeah. Is you get Denver at Denver, you get the Rams
a couple times.
You get Kansas City and the Rams again, all in the first half before you go to the bye in week 9. So at what point, maybe Trey Lance plays great from the opening snap, but it's never an issue. And then they've just paid a lot of money for a good backup quarterback that can come in and take you. Like, I'd be interested to talk to some of the guys inside that locker room offensively to see what they think.
We've got to get someone on. You remember what Robbie said? Remember Robbie, what he said about Jimmy G when he was in studio?
They love it.
He said nobody better.
Right.
He loves him. So, this is Niners talk on KNBR. Let's go to Howard and Skokie here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Howard?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Two things. One, I think the Niners overplayed their hand before the draft. If you're going to move them, you move them then. If not, you don't declare.
He wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
Is that your beeper, Howard? What is that? Do you still have a beeper?
I'm barbecuing. Hold on.
Is that your smoke detector?
The house is coming down.
Yes. The second thing is, I don't understand.
I love he's still dedicated to the car.
Hold on. This is better. I don't understand Bears manager for one thing. If you trust Josh Fields to be your answer.
Justin Fields, sorry.
How do you not draft a left tackle?
Well, they did.
You
don't make that. You trade up and grab a guy in the first round. Because quarterbacks get killed
Not if that pick. What was their first pick? What number was it? 35? 37?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
If the player on your board at that pick
is
a cornerback, that's who you take.
No, I understand that. But you have next year's draft pick. This year, I'm not going to say it's a waste, but you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. I would take next year's draft pick, trade up, and get myself a left tackle that can protect my quarterback. More quarterbacks get their back broken and get ruined by bad left tackles than they do by
You know what, Howard? We're going to find out over the course of this year whether or not they made a prudent decision.
Well, they
and whether or not they protect it.
And they're not supposed to be good. Even if they are a little better than we think, they'll have a top 10 to 12 pick. They should be able to get one there.
Maybe Braxton Jones turns into a difference-making player. Maybe Luke Getsy's really good at his job and finds a way to protect him with chipping with a tight end and a fullback and moving the pocket. Maybe just by play calls and game planning, you find a way to protect him from that spot.
Randy in Seattle, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Randy?
Hello, boys. It's been a while.
Welcome back.
First, thank you. It's good to be back. So first thing, Tommy, I wanted to thank you for being the absolute voice of reason on the show regarding the Bears and other sports topics for quite some time.
What are you saying? Is that a rip job on me? What are you saying here, Randy?
Sylvie, in your words, there's only one red S on the program, and that would be you. But no. Tommy just has a nice balance to him. He sees
it's
things,
the age.
You know, from the perspective.
Take a lot
and
of meds.
And I appreciate that. And I feel the same way Tommy does. But here's what I wanted to say to Bears fans, and what my reasonable expectation is. I think this is a 5 or 6 win team, but I think you're going to see a better team in the second half of the season than what you're going to see in the first half. There's so many new pieces from coaching to schemes to players and all personnel that they'll spend the first half of the season still looking and finding out. And the second half, I think you'll see a better product, boys.
That's always the goal whenever you're in the rebuild. Like, even with the Cubs this year, the second half has been a lot better than a lot of the bumps in the road in the first half. You hope some of the young kids prove that they're building blocks.
Yeah, listen, you can still build a foundation while you're losing more than you're winning. I mean, that's the hope here in Chicago. I mean, the hope is that you win more than you lose, but you can still get things done. It's what I said as well about Fields. Just because the huddle isn't filled with blue chip players doesn't mean he can't still make progress.
Right. And if he plays some of the games like he played yesterday in Cleveland, we're off and running.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just off. We are off and
running.
You
see progress in his game just with some of the little things they've cleaned up and with play calling and game planning. Again, it'll be different the regular season. You'll be getting everybody's best, and everybody will be game planning for you.
Right.
But you can make progress.
We never got to the Jenkins stuff. I want to play you Ian Rappaport, who thinks the Bears are still talking to other teams about Tevin Jenkins. Could this be the case? And Jimmy Garoppolo back with the Niners. The Bears play the Niners in the opener. If you wanted to weigh in on some of the awful White Sox weekend, be our guest too. 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I want to play this Tevin Jenkins audio.
We got to get our fantasy team draft order going, too.
I want to give a heads up, too, to Chief in New Jersey. Don't go anywhere, Chief. I want to take your call as well. I want to take all the calls. I want to make sure that Chief doesn't hang up. Yeah, so we have the Fantasy Football League. I hate the randomizer. I don't think draft order should be picked with a randomizer. I think the guy pushing the
Why?
Button.
Why? Do you think the randomizer can be hacked or manipulated?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Is Mellor someone that
never shows
it
to me?
Yeah. How often has he had a top 3 or 4 pick?
Every year. Every year.
Every year.
An absolute lie.
Every year.
Where was your pick last year?
I have to go back and look through the results.
You know.
I don't. I honestly
don't know where you... Where'd you pick last year?
Like not even like in a, like 8. The worst spot to be in a 12-team
league. You know
team
where you picked.
Not high, not in the back end where you can do the snake. You snake it through.
Where you do the snake.
You get 12 and 13.
We're not doing the snake.
Doing the snake. I think we should take all 12 names of the people in the
put
draft
them in a hat
and do like what David Stern and the NBA used to do. And
yeah,
they still
but
do
they,
the
put,
lottery.
They put
that was never
you know,
fixed.
They, yeah,
exactly.
You crumble queuing over there.
You crumble up all the
dry
pieces.
Dry ice on all the pieces. I get a little chocolate on the one that I want. Oh, look at that! A little chocolate over here.
You have a random person just pick it. And with the 12th pick, and then it builds a little more drama as well with the 12th pick, with the 11th pick.
Doesn't the randomizer do that too?
The random pick, they all spit out, and here's your pick.
Waddle, last year.
Mellor's first again. Sylvie's ninth.
I had the 5th pick last year.
Top five. Okay. You're trying to throw people off the scent there. That's just that is the epitome of a true accomplished criminal. That you know you can still win even though you're getting with the fifth pick.
He's stealing, but not too much.
Sylvia had the ninth pick last year.
I'm always there. Eighth or ninth.
Who picked first? I was actually, hang on. Last year, the first pick went to Sarah Spain.
Sarah, the number one pick last year.
She did.
Who's our reigning champion, by the way?
Jacob Nitzberg, who actually went, he was undefeated, went 13-0-1.
He had a powerhouse. He's the stats and info guy.
Of course, yeah.
For all those not listening, in case you did not know, Jacob Nitzberg is the ESPN stats and info stat guy.
Stats and info stat guy.
Yeah,
and info guy.
Yes.
Is he the stat guy and the info guy? He's the stats and info.
And the info. He does both info and stats. All right, what do we do then? You want to randomize
this
thing?
Let's do it. Let's randomize this MF-er.
Oh, hold on. Let me do the Tevin Jenkins sound really quick. Let me play Ian Rappaport. This was from earlier today. After all this, after all last year's injury, he was a left tackle to start last year after they drafted him in the second round. Came back healthy. After what happened this preseason when he wasn't available right at the start of training camp. And he went from right tackle to now right guard, where he's played well and he started the last two games. Could the Bears still actually be thinking about trading Tevin Jenkins in Rappaport earlier this afternoon on the NFL Network?
Well, let's talk about some of the guys who could end up being released. I would say maybe more likely traded. We'll see which way it goes. A lot of times, as you guys know, there's a little bit of both, a possible release, maybe a trade. We'll go to some offensive linemen, some highly drafted offensive linemen. First of all, Tevin Jenkins from the Chicago Bears has been the subject of trade calls for a little less than a month now. I know the Chicago Bears, from my understanding, have engaged, have not come up with a deal just yet. Also moved him to guard, and it sounds like he was somewhat impressive there. So I'm not so sure they cut him, but a trade, from my understanding, certainly possible here.
Trade, from his understanding, still possible here. Interesting.
Who's looking for offensive linemen?
Everybody. That's the truth.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Tom Brady's Bucs, everybody.
Maybe the Bucs are calling.
Just what he
They like crazy down there.
I don't know about that. I mean,
Ryan Jensen was his.
He's good. I mean, like.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just. Look, my expectation is that he's going to be your starting right guard against the 49ers opening weekend of the season. But, like, I don't think you should write off anything with this new group.
Nothing. No. They've surprised us with a lot of moves already so far. Let me take Chief. Chief in New Jersey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chief?
Man, what's up with y'all? How y'all been, man?
Fabulous. How about you?
Where have you been?
I've been awesome, man. I've been on cloud nine with this. What the hell the Bears been doing that? I'm amazed that can't nobody else deal with it. Look, you're talking about, I just got to say one thing. Ryan Poles, from what he's done with this team and the turnover and the changes, I'm so impressed. I'm just elated. I'm just ecstatic. There's no way y'all expected damn Justin Fields to throw three touchdowns in the first quarter. Did y'all expect that?
No, I wanted one touchdown from the offense.
I mean, we set the bar at a reasonable level.
All right, now this year though, I'm telling you right now, get your overplays in, because the Bears they might fall short of the playoffs. I'm looking at the next two or three, this year three and year four, just like with Justin Fields, his sophomore year to the sophomore year, so his junior year and his senior year, we're going to expect the big thing. The offensive line, we better keep Tevin Jenkins. He got a mean streak at guard. If you can't see, I see you look like Bruce Banner. You like you ready to turn to the Hawk playing guard. You start mauling
people.
Hold
on now, Chief. At the bottom of your call, it says Fields isn't the guy. Did you originally call to say that Justin Fields isn't the guy? Because it sure sounds like you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Man, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. We about to have a drug problem with the Bears Kool-Aid. It's going to be this is what I said. The only sad thing is I said the Bears about this. I imagine Seattle. I think like in the trajectory, 3 years, tops, we're going to go back-to-back Super Bowl somewhere down the line here, and then you're going to move out the city. So that's the only sad part. Outside of that, Man, Justin Fields, I'm thankful for McCaskey. He fumbled and bumbled, but he finally got it right for us. So just praise God. Just you guys have a good one.
You too, Chief. Thank you. I'm just suggesting, like, I just for the sake of a few laughs, a couple of giggles, I do want to go back and find out what was being said after the first training camp or the first preseason of Matt Nagy and Mitch.
It wasn't preseason, but a few people sent me videos of, like, the Bears are back and with Mitch Trubisky.
I'll do some digging tonight, and we can play a little game tomorrow.
That's all I'm saying is I have a recollection of it's all good now from that many years ago as well. That's why I'm cautious.
Baldy, but Baldy's a love smart Baldy, football
of course.
Guy. Or does he drink Kool-Aid when things go well?
No, listen, you just react to what you see. Baldy does all the homework. Baldy's fantastic.
I think there may be a Nick Foles love Baldy breakdown against Tampa in that game, the fourth down game. I think Baldinger, guys, you got your quarterback. You got a guy who can think and read the defense.
All I'm saying is you've got to be careful about getting too high or too low when it comes to preseason football. There are some things that you can take from it, obviously. Just don't put all your chips on it. That would be my suggestion.
Tom in Oaklawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tommy?
Well, I ran 2 5Ks and then port to base 10 nautical miles this weekend, which apparently
it's a lot of work.
11 and a half miles. So between that and throwing 20 to 30 yard passes to my son and 10 of his teammates before their practice, my whole body is shot.
Sounds like you need a drink.
Yeah, look at you. You're throwing downfield to the kids.
Yeah.
None of these crappy little screens out in the flat. You're pushing the ball downfield, Tom.
I'm pushing it downfield. And then one of them asked me, did you play quarterback? I'm like, no, I was a defensive back. But anyway, my question. So I know people are like this. Not so much this year doesn't matter, but more or less, you know, if they don't win a lot, that's fine. Then we'll get a high draft pick. But what if they do win? You know, go seven and ten,
yeah,
8 and 9, something like that, where they're in the middle. Is it considered a failure because we didn't get
No.
It's more because we got our quarterback.
It's totally a success because you're only going to win 7, 8, 9 games because your quarterback has exceeded maybe modest expectation levels. And it means that you've got a foundation that you can build on. I'm not worried about the draft pick this year. I'm worried about them just building a foundation that they can build on going forward. Like, I'm not sitting here going, lose so that you got the first, second, or third pick. That's not my goal here.
No, if the bottom floor produces 8 or 9 wins, you're doing a hell of a lot.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
You don't want to be stuck in the middle when you've repeated the same team and you have a championship hope. An 8-win season, like, okay, so if they draft 17th or 15th because they've won that, at least they have the full allotment of picks build a football team.
Not just that, but obviously, if you win 8 or 9 games,
you have found solutions.
You've found solutions, which mean maybe you don't need to be drafting first, second, third, or fourth.
Right.
You can find quality guys if you have a good eye for talent.
Right, because it's the youngsters who are producing. It's not like that Bulls team, I always say, with Robin Lopez and Justin Holliday winning games that they shouldn't be winning, who had no future. If it's because Tevin Jenkins is blocking and Braxton Jones is blocking and all these players are playing well, Brisker's taking the ball away.
We really don't on this team. They don't have a lot of guys that fit that Bulls description.
They got rid of most of them, and they may get rid of Quinn. Chase on the south side. What's up, Chase?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Everything's good.
All good.
Thanks for coming out on Friday.
No.
Chase filmed our video.
Pre-show video.
The pre-show when I ate the dirty tomato.
It fell
on a
rotten
cigarette.
Tomato.
Butt.
You ate a rotten tomato.
It was not rotten. It was juicy and it was ripe, but it fell on a cigarette butt.
Yeah.
And I still ate it.
And some other substance that I didn't know what it was.
It was really good. It was really good seeing you guys again. Hopefully I get to see you guys one more time before the wintertime hits. Which is coming soon.
We concur. Yes.
Yeah. But, so it was funny. While I remember you mentioned what Jim Miller said about Fields' footwork, about how when he releases the ball on shotgun, and you know, I don't know why, but I'm more so irritated, more so than happy about this, because how can Nagy not know that? Like, you a quarterback guru. How could you not know about moving the pocket? Like, Walt, I got to ask you something. Is it that Nagy really was it that he was just is just not smart, or was he just?
I said for quite some time, Chase, that he did not. It was quite obvious that he was not putting his guys in position to take advantage of what they did well. And thanks for the call. And again, I go back and I reference, how long did it take them to put in a game plan that actually fit the skill set of Mitch Trubisky? It took you to the last four or five games of the 2020 season, where you were beating lesser opponents. You beat like the Jags and the Texans and the Lions, but they finally put together a game plan and a system that worked for Mitch on the edge.
Yeah, like an 8 or 9 win team with that team sucks. Like, that's where it's like, big deal. You made the playoffs. You're not going anywhere.
Well, you were all in with that group. Financially, draft picks, you've given away all of your draft picks. You've spent all your free agency currency. Yeah, like, you were all in for a team that won 8 games.
It was a miserable year. And then the year after was miserable again. Yeah. It just...
Like I said, it's nice not to hate your football team.
He's right, like, to think... It seems so simple. Oh, start out with this foot and forward instead of the other foot forward. But yeah, he had all these guys, Matt Nagy, Dave Ragone, Flip, DeFilippo, all these guys, Bill Lazor. None of them knew that because they were too busy trying to get Andy up to speed. Got to get Andy up to speed. Oh, my gosh. Andy's going to take us to the promised
land. Listen, this is why you got to turn the page. You got to move forward. Like Chase said, he's not focusing on being enthusiastic.
I'm starting to get pissed off again.
Yeah, don't go down that rabbit hole. That's no fun.
It was all good today. Black and Abdallah joining us coming up next, and then we will randomize our fantasy football draft order next.
Hey, one thing that's easy to check off that list is your back-to-school haircuts. Go to Great Clips with over 200 salons in Illinois and 150 in the Chicagoland area. There's one nearby. And with online check-in, using the Great Clips app or at greatclips.com, you save time as well as money. By checking in online, you could check the wait time. Your name goes on a list. Plus, you get a ready next text when the wait's 15 minutes. Then you go to the salon and you will be at or near the top of the list. You could check in multiple people as well, all at once. So load up the kids, because Great Clips is your answer for back to school. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Also, now, if you're interested, you can join the salon team. Visit jobs.greatclips.com. All salons independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We get a full Bleck and Abdallah today. A nice little break from the White Sox today.
Amen to that, brother.
They could. They certainly could use
it. Amen to Bleck and Abdallah, and certainly amen to no White Sox.
Yeah, we're... Kind of
You're thrilled.
Good with that.
They need
it's
a break.
Football season. Kind of done. Yeah, it's football season. Yeah, I was watching that's football on Saturday. Woo. It's football season. It's over. I was sweating bets.
Yeah,
it was great.
Did you win
awesome.
Some money this weekend?
Yeah, I won some money this weekend. It's football season. Come on.
Is that a given? Is this
college,
automatic?
College football.
Automatic.
College football.
Were you able to play the Northwestern game?
No.
How dumb is that?
So
3,600 miles away.
The state is so dumb. Yeah. How about this? They could bet on the game in Dublin. But they can't. I can't bet it
of
here.
Course. And free beer.
And free beer. Yeah, free beer and gambling on the game.
That's fine. Like, I would have lost money because I would have picked Nebraska.
Would you wait in line for 25-minute free beers?
Actually, the joke would be, I wait 25 minutes to purchase a beer at Soldier Field. So,
yeah. Not normally tonight. You will.
I'm not kidding. Like at halftime, if you go to get a beer or food at Soldier Field, you're waiting the entirety of halftime and missing the first drive of the third quarter.
Don't most stadiums now deliver stuff to you on an app or do some of them?
Not Soldier.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think Soldier. The United Center, you can do that.
United Center does it. Guaranteed Rate does it.
Well, I think they may not anymore, since now things are everything's open again.
Yeah,
I don't know if they've got the food runners anymore.
I think like the UC
you can.
App,
yeah.
You can get pretty much any stadium in baseball. I know you can.
See, because we used to do that, but like at the last Sox game that we were at, it was not available, or at least it didn't have that code on the seat in front of you.
Did you have the good seats?
Maybe it was ninth inning.
It's based on the seats.
Yeah, you got to have good seats.
Like a Bulls game, you have to be pretty close to get that.
In the 200 level at Bulls games, you have a waiter or there's a wait staff there.
I think it just is based on the place where you're sitting.
Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, they used to have the runners come where you would order your hot dog, your drink, and then they would just
run
it to you.
That's because they didn't have enough concessions open.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So I think most of that is done. Yesterday at the Brewers game, man, it was outstanding. Like, I think it's like this at, I've been to Guaranteed Rate enough, no bathroom lines.
Yeah.
No, like in and out. You wanted an ice cream, you got an ice cream. You wanted a chicken tenders and fries, done. It was great. That ballpark is fantastic.
Did you go down the slide and break your wrist like that reporter did? No,
that was
Dave Vassay, isn't that his name? LA?
From the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, Dodgers Jesse.
All right,
Dodgers Jesse.
It's true. That's what he is.
Anybody out?
So are you guys going to help us pick our draft
order? I've got a headphones bag here.
So we went away from randomizer.
No, I'm the randomizer.
Yeah, well, wait, so what's
Chris
the deal?
And I are the randomizer.
What's the deal with this? Behind the glass there,
Sylvie does not like the randomizer.
I don't like the randomizer.
Who do you think it's you? What do you think it's against you?
It's skewed against you?
Do you think it's rigged?
I mean, we could put out a deck of cards and do it that way.
You're assuming your name's in there.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Meller.
So this is number 12. Is that the way you're doing it?
You guys tell me. I'm just pulling names out.
Yeah, so to build the suspense, Abdallah will pull out the names, and we'll start with number 12.
Here we go.
If we get 12, we're out.
We quit.
I'd say drum roll. I'd say drum roll, but that sound effect was probably lost in the move. Let's see.
Meantime, what do we have?
The random stuff that we have.
All right, here we go.
What
Joe Carter. The Joe Carter Peter
Is it us? It's hockey.
We're the 12th pick in the draft. We'll go to one, Jeffrey Joseph Meller.
Yeah! No! What am I cheering for?
He's going to be doing some work in that 12th spot.
I think it's a challenge for him. Do you want to do the
snake?
Next one? Here,
is it a snake? Does he get the 12th pick?
Well, now you guys are mixing it up.
Damn right I get the snake.
All right, snake. All right, so was this number 11?
Yeah, number 11. Yeah. Yeah.
What do we got here? Hey, Sylvie!
No!
Team Sylvie!
Should have gone with a randomizer, Bill.
Randomizer! Get the randomizer off!
All right, here's number 10.
And
number
I got a 10. Draft right around Meller? That's a lose.
Number 10 will go to...
Damn it.
Joe McCardle with the 10th pick.
All right, man, he won't be Joe here to McCardle. Put his team together.
You said it, not me.
Joe will be drafting from home, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, everybody drafts from home.
I thought we got together.
Is this the
like
league
pals?
That you guys do that we used to do in the conference
like
room?
Pals.
Didn't we share a team in this league?
Yeah, I hate all of it.
I don't think you guys played fantasy football. We were in a league for a short time.
We were for one year.
Afterwards,
I hate fantasy football.
Sarah Spain gets the next pick.
Sarah Spain. Nine. I hope everyone's listening right now
because everyone is very concerned about our fantasy football league.
No, I mean the people in the league.
Oh, I got
number
you.
Eight will go to. Well, I accidentally pulled out two. That one goes back in. Andrew Delaney.
Yes. Delaney's a good football player. He is also a marketing guru here at the radio station.
The combo of Waddle and Tyler Aki.
Oh, we're screwed.
Oh, they roped you into this now?
Yeah, we're co-owners.
Weren't you last week?
We're co-owners. To be in it.
They're a VP and a GM.
Yeah. What number was that? Eight or seven?
Picking seventh.
That's seven. All right, here we go. The next one we'll go to. Oh, Jim Pastor. What's up, Jim?
Our old boss, Jim Pastor.
Jimmy Jam, number one Raiders fan.
All right, who do we got here? One content director, Danny Zetterman, with the next pick.
He didn't quit. I thought he was threatening to quit.
No, I think Waddle actually roped the addition of Tom Waddle.
Oh, really?
Roped him back in. His man crush on Waddle would not allow him to quit.
I get it.
I think I'm one more pigeon in the cage because I can't play this game very well.
He's a bad fantasy football player.
This is picking
fourth pick.
Fourth pick will go to former content director Adam Delavan.
Oh, that will be good. With Zetterman and Delavan battling in front and behind of each other.
Roman Madrowski gets the next pick.
The third for the second and first pick, Danny Lynch and the defending champ, Jacob Nitzberg.
Oh, my God.
Man, Yurko's not in this league?
No, all right. Well, you're taking Yurko's spot. And you, the second pick will go to Danny Lynch.
Wow, the champion
gets
the number one.
Which means number one will go to Jacob Nitzberg. Nitzberg, please send the check to my mailbox here.
And Nitzberg won the league partially on the strength and shoulders of Jonathan Taylor last year, so he's in a good spot.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So
you guys have fun with that league. It sounds great.
You guys, what'd you think overall of Saturday?
I mean, you know, we told you so, but whatever.
You're already doing the victory lap.
I mean,
third preseason game. I hope you told me so.
I'm going to stick with the theme for the preseason. They look professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once again, in a preseason outing against a team that had some second string guys out there, at least the offense didn't look like a bunch of bumbling fools making
mistakes.
They made their
layups. You start with making your layups.
Hey, there were guys that were open. Yep. He was making the throws. Fields was. The pass protection was there. They were running the football a little bit. I liked what I saw. Yeah. I don't see how you could take away anything from Saturday's first half and say, well,
positive.
I didn't like that. It all looked pretty all good.
I think what I liked the best was when there was a holding call and it was first and 20. It didn't feel like...
All right, boom.
It
Let's
didn't
get back
feel
10
like,
yards.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, right, well, this we is over. Time to punch.
No, in two plays, they picked up the
and,
first down.
How frequently have you seen them be first and 15? Not very frequently.
Not very frequently.
You don't see them taking silly penalties. Yeah. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. Procedurally, they are an improved team.
Yeah.
Now you got to close that talent gap that exists between them and others.
Of course.
And that's not going to happen this season.
It's not.
But they're going to look professional.
Yes.
And hopefully, if you're gambling on them, they're going to be good against the spread. And they're going to be in games in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, will we have more Mondays where we say, they just didn't have quite the talent output? Yeah, probably.
Build me a foundation.
But they should play good games, competitive games.
I feel
games.
Very confident in 7 wins.
7-8.
Very confident.
7-8, okay, that's where we're going.
I bet on the good, over the weekend.
Like, that's not a good team.
That's
you know
a
what
good
I mean?
Foundation,
like, that's a good
though,
foundation.
For a team that is going to be out-talented in a lot of games.
Well, the team with, quote, no talent, that's pretty good.
That is pretty damn good.
It's a good foundation for a team that's going to have over $100 million in cap space and all their
full complement of picks.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Get me there, that's for sure. We had no guest today. We talked to you. It was awesome. Black and Abdallah coming up next. Great work, as always, by Jeff Meller and Tyler Aki. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.